And we are live. Oh Lord, what are we gonna say about this one? Where, how did we end up here, guys? What is going on? But we're back. We're in between the Torino draw, match against Fiorentina coming up. Officially not within 3 points of first place with the game in hand. Game in hand not being played for probably another month. Yeah, we're in a spot here, but we had to drag ourselves on here, had to keep going. So we got Ian, we've got Dave. What's up, guys? Dave, I want you to start because I know you have a special jersey behind.
Oh yeah. I have to show my Kondogbia jersey behind me. This is an homage to my boy Mikey. Okay, there we go. Now we can see Kondogbia. This is homage to Mikey. Since today's Mikey's birthday, I want to say happy birthday, Mikey. This is a talk that we had on one of the pods. I'm not sure who remembers, but he dared me to come out with my Kondogbia jersey. When we're talking about Benter era jerseys that we had, Kondogbia was probably one of my worst investments, but I still have it, and it's still pretty crisp, as you can see, because I don't wear it that often.
Hey, I mean, he also put in his team got past Man U, so I mean.
And that's a guy that he's definitely come good, and I don't know, let's not discuss it too much, but he definitely would be a fit in this current Inter, in my opinion, but it is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. I like the choice though. It brings back some memories. That font too. That font gives me some memories. But Ian, how's it going? I know you're the two monitor king now. You've got our stats for us.
To Murder King, I have upgraded. We have all the stats that we can wish and desire in the world, so I'm ready.
Yeah, the only thing we're missing is Risto to be even more negative than we're gonna be. But we're not gonna be too negative. It's not gonna be too bad, but it doesn't feel great coming off of what we came off of. But yeah, I guess we have to start where we left off. We gotta start with Torino. Ian, I'll start with you. How bad? Scale of 1 to 10, how tough was that one to watch?
17, 18, something like that. It's just painful to watch games, you know. In the last 5 years, I haven't missed a single game. This season, I already missed two, just because I don't feel like watching this team struggle anymore. It's
Wow.
painful. It's painful.
Yeah, that was worse than I thought it was gonna be. Damn.
This guy
But
said
Dave,
17.
you gotta be a little bit better off than Ian here, right?
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you say a scale of what's your scale on 1 to 10? I'm pulling up the stats right now. I'll say on 1 to 10, it was probably a 7 to watch, because this is one of those matches where you concede one of those bing bong type of goals that it's not like something that they worked on the training ground, that they practiced or whatever. It just a lucky bounce, and Bremer was there at the right place at the right time to just poke the ball in, and then that was pretty much it for them for the whole match, you know. Other than maybe that penalty that, in my opinion, they should have had on Ranocchia. I don't know what he was doing with Belotti, but that was definitely a penalty. I'm not sure why they didn't get that. We could discuss it more later. But other than those two incidents, Torino were pretty much not a threat. You know, we created plenty of chances. We have Dzeko missing wide open headers and headers, point blank headers. He can't score it. You have DeMarco. He got a 1v1 that I remember, and then he, for some reason, decided to take it on his right, where he could have just, he had plenty of time to set himself up and put that left foot that we know that he has through it. But all in all, looking at the XGs, you know, for those that do care, ours is 2.51 and theirs was 1.7. You know, so that means that we created enough to win the game. We should have won the game 2-1, at least by what XG says. For those that live and breathe by the stats, I don't necessarily do, but I do feel like that they're a good indication of what happened in a match if you didn't see it, for example. But yeah, it was tough, man. I am in a position now that I'm not as confident anymore, because even if our schedule is clearing up like we were anticipating, we did get out of the Champions League. We bowed out in a graceful manner, but in retrospect, it cost us Brozo, you know, that wasn't there for us. Although, again, that doesn't look like that was an issue right there, because we were we created enough to win the match, or strikers again where they let us down. So that's for the reason that I'm not as confident, but I'm still in a position where I feel like, you know, if we could manage to win those next two matches, it does get very, very soft for us in the schedules. Whereas everybody else that finished very, very, very difficult, with different, very, very difficult schedules, particularly Milan, because we got to look at Milan right now. They're the ones on top. So they finish, I think, with, I'm not sure I have it in order because I don't have it pulled up right now, but I know they have Atalanta, Lazio, Sassuolo, and another tough match. You know, that they finished their last five or six matches. They're pretty tough, and I expect them to leak points in those matches, you know. But, yeah, we got to humble ourselves. We got to put our heads down and work. And Fiorentina is definitely a must-win match. If we didn't say that the other matches were must-wins, we got to start at Fiorentina.
Yeah, I mean, we had a little bit of room for grace, and over the past few weeks, we have thrown that all out. Now it's like no margin for error. I think I did hear Inzaghi say that there are 10 finals left in the season. And when you start talking like that, that's usually not an indication that the season's going the way that you wanted it to at this point of the season. But yeah, I think wins against Fiorentina, Juve, Verona, if you can get 9 points out of those, I think you put yourself back in a very strong position. But I mean, with the way this team is playing, you got to go to Juve. Luckily, Fiorentina and Verona are at home, so those should be a little bit lighter challenges. But still, going to Juve, historically, we know that when Inter need points and are going into Turin, either side of Turin now, I mean, it's hard to get points out of there. But yeah, of course, I missed the match against Torino. It wasn't just out of not wanting to watch. I was actually busy. But you know, I remember tweeting after Liverpool, and I kind of got roasted for it a little bit, but I said that if De Vrij and Brozovic are gone for this Torino match, like, it's not going to be pretty. I think I said the Scudetto gone. I mean, that's dramatic. That was me just frustrate venting after going out of the Champions League, but you know, it did come to pass. I do like the point you made that we created enough that, you know, we didn't need Brozovic right there, right then, but it would have helped. Vecino, I don't think, did too well. That Vecino Regista is that it's baffling me even right now trying to explain it. I don't know how Inzaghi even decided that. Like, I mean, yeah, Barella didn't work there last time, but why not go with like a 3-4-1-2 and put Hakan behind the strikers or something? I just don't understand the team selection.
Yeah, I thought the same, but I don't know. That was a very curious choice. Absolutely. If anything, I thought that maybe he could have tried Vidal there, because Vidal is probably more of a guy that has some kind of intelligence where he could distribute the ball and be our playmaker, sit in front of the defense a little bit. We've seen him do that, you know. So I thought he probably could have started Vidal, but they say that he was tired from playing the 90 minutes, which we could understand against Liverpool. But yeah, that was a curious choice. But on one end, I felt like, okay, you know what, I got to give him credit for trying something else, because Barella did not work there. And not only did Barella not work there, but putting them in that position in negates what Barella does going forward, which is like combining with Dumfries on that right, 1-2s, getting on in positions and getting crosses. If you're the Regista that has to sit in front of the defense and be the guard dog, you don't get that freedom to move up. So that kind of negates Barella as well. So I thought that's probably what he did. It kind of just sacrificed the Regista position. I don't think that he actually expected Vecino to be a playmaker. He probably put him there as a destroyer, you know, just make sure you're there, you break up play, whatever Torino's trying to do. And that's what Vecino tried to do to an extent. We try to play more through Hakan, you know. And again, we created plenty of chances. There were a couple there was a set piece that Hakan delivered it perfectly. And, you know, I don't know how they failed to get a touch on that. You know, that would have been an easy tap-in, you know. There were a couple of occasions, you know, and here we are, man. It's like we were talking about it, but we didn't like just like, actually watching it pass. It feels a little different because we said it earlier. We're like, yo, listen, this team is scoring a lot right now. Everybody else is scoring, and the striker is actually getting away with being wasteful. But soon that's going to be we're going to be in a position where that's going to cost us. And that's what it is. Like we don't have clinical strikers. We know we don't have clinical strikers. But right now, we're just watching it cost us right now. And it sucks, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing we can really do about it either. I mean, there are no other options. I mean, Correa came on again. I don't think he did too much. It was Alexis Sanchez that did get the goal late. So, I mean, I guess making up for his red card against Liverpool, which I think we've talked about was not the best choice from him. But trying to make it up there, I mean – maybe you could have started him. Maybe that would have been some motivation for him to come out and have a good match. I thought about that when I saw the lineups come out. But, you know, he's been going – Inzaghi's been going with Dzeko all season through the good and the bad, and it just keeps getting drier and drier. But
yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, bro. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was obvious that he was going to go with Dzeko because, remember, he didn't play him against Liverpool, you know, so – arrested Dzeko and a Lautaro that scored in the last two matches. You know, that was that pairing to me when I saw it on the lineup. I wasn't surprised at all, regardless of Alexis's form. But I did expect them to bring on both guys, Alexis and Correa, much earlier, you know, to try to get an impact and switch things around. You know, that's what I would say.
Yeah. And I mean, like we've been saying all season, I mean, Inzaghi can't get out there and put the ball in the goal himself. Like, I don't know how much I really put on him for this, like, other than starting Vecino where he started him and like anything else. Like, he just, like, this team is still creating, like we keep saying. Like, I'm at a loss for like what can change other than strikers finding some goals. Ian, do you see anything changing soon?
I just don't know why we brought in Caicedo for him to only play, what's this, three matches? Three cameos?
No, yeah, 3 minutes.
It feels like that because, like, he came on against Fiorentina. No, wait, what am I looking at? Not even that. Apparently, he only had one official game with us, and that was against Genoa.
Bro, so he played it. 3 minutes, yeah. Okay?
3 minutes, like, why do you...
I'm not going to let you give him credit talking about three matches.
I was confused by this super score thing. No, but, like, so you have the Dzeko sub that you never play. Dzeko started this fucking can't even play. Like, we saw him miss so many chances, so many... Like, for a guy that's, like, what, 192 centimeters tall, that should be able to head the ball that he can't even head the ball in, like... It's baffling. I don't know what to say.
It is, and the thing is, that's been his whole that's been him his whole career. Even at his prime, his City days, his Wolfsburg days, he was always a high volume guy. Like, he needs plenty of chances to score, but he plays very well with the team, and he's physical. You know, that's why I don't even want to moan about it. It's like, knowing we got Dzeko, I know what I was getting, and we all know what Lautaro. Except for maybe Ian, who thinks he's going to become a finisher one day. You know, Look at him. He's not even denying it. Shame on you.
Shame.
I live by my words.
You're eating him right now. You were almost right.
I thought you almost ate him for real, but...
Yeah.
I'm just tired of Inter, man. I don't know what it is. This is like pre-Banter. This is like the Mancini and Pioli days. This is like peak Frank de Boer days.
Of course it was Bremer too that had to score. Of course it was.
Exactly. That's crazy. Just like Scamacca scored against us with Sassuolo. But nah, Ian, let's not get too down on ourselves, man. You know, I can't let that happen. I feel like just one good win against Fiorentina, and like we're really on our way back, because like I watch Milan as well. Like, they're not a juggernaut by any sense of the imagination. Who they were playing last time, Empoli, they scored a beautiful goal from Kalulu, just hitting a ball from outside the box. Beautiful curler. But other than that, they created nothing. You know,
it was
against Empoli
as well. The goal. It exactly. Went through how many people?
How many people? And the goalkeeper – Ironically, the goalkeeper before the match, he was talking about how Handanovic was his idol, and that's who he looks up to. And then he pulled Handanovic on that goal because he even moved. What, Ian? What do you got to say?
Hold on. I'm not going to let the Slovenian slander be here. Come on now.
Okay. You know, I'm not going to give anything.
Nah,
anything
I'm else. Kidding. I'm kidding.
But yeah, I say that to say this. I feel like let's not get down on ourselves. Milan are definitely they're bound to drop points. It's probably not going to happen in the next two matches because who do they have? I think they have
Cagliari.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
Bologna home, and then Torino away, Genoa home, then the reverse fixture, Coppa Italia, Lazio, Fiorentina, Verona.
I mean, maybe Cagliari. I mean, Cagliari did draw with Napoli, so maybe there's a chance that they catch Milan on an off day. Because, I mean, Milan right now are kind of, I don't know, like, they've won the last two, but it's been, like, one goal. Like, it's been very narrow. Like, it's not been like they've completely dominated anybody. I mean, they beat Napoli. Exactly. That's very respectable, but it was a goal from Giroud, who just in the past month has decided he's going to start scoring.
Well, but it's the kind of goal as well, Mikey. It's literally like a shot. It's not like Calabria or whoever it was passing it to Giroud. This guy was shooting the ball, and it was such a bad shot that it was going out of bounds, and Giroud just stuck a leg out. Literally, you don't practice that. You know, that's like literally okay. You're getting lucky goals. It's okay. It's completely fine. We are at the business end of the mercato. I mean, the campionato now, where you just gotta win matches any way you can, by claw, by hook, and by crook. You know, and so I gotta respect it. But then again, I'm watching. I'm not seeing that they're a juggernaut. They're scoring billions of goals and they're dominating teams. So I expect them to drop plenty of points and plenty of matches. But we'll see.
Last time Milan scored over two goals in a win was on the 9th of February at the Coppa against Lazio.
Wow.
They beat them 4-0. Last time they scored two goals, period, was against Salernitana in the draw. So, you know.
that is not great form, but we've been so bad that it's on us. Like, it is really Inter doing this to themselves. Like, whether it's, you know, by bad tactics, which I don't think it is, or just by bad play, which is more, and bad luck even, really, because, I mean, Berisha played out of his mind. I mean, I'm fully convinced that if it would have been Vanya Milinkovic-Savic in goal instead of Berisha, I think Inter would have had at least two, because I don't know. I don't rate Milinkovic-Savic very highly. I know he's the starter there, but like, Berisha has always, to me, been a more reflexive goalkeeper. And that's really what he was relying on with some of those chances that came close, like the Hakan, the curler in and like got a hand to it. There was just so much that I was like, what can you do? This guy's going Consigli mode. Like, what do we do here?
Imagine if Napoli wins in the end, the whole thing.
I mean, I don't think I'd rather have that, honestly, than Milan.
I would cry.
I don't know. Just because, I mean, I don't want Milan on the same number of Scudetti as us. I can't have them be within striking distance of the second star before Inter. I just can't have that.
I mean, realistically, even Juventus, we can't count out. They're only 3 points behind us. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they're winning, but
we have the match in hand as well. Anyway, like, I don't know, man. I'm built different, man. I'm not even thinking. I'm not at that point yet where I'm like, shit, I'm trying to decide who I would prefer to win it.
I mean, I know who we all want to win it, but, you know.
Like, let's say if we do our match in hand, how many points would that put us behind Milan?
A point back if we win that game, but that match isn't going to be played until at least late
until
April.
Because
we keep launching appeals. They said it won't be played before like the 27th of April at this point.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know.
We're still trying to appeal.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if we're shooting ourselves in the foot with that now at this point, with trying to get this win. Like, that's kind of a bad look. Honestly, to me, it's a bad look that we're begging for this win over Bologna.
No, I don't see it that way. It's because, like, I think that weekend, what, four or five matches were canceled. And all of the other matches, they awarded the win to a team, whatever, or to the team that actually showed up. And in ours, for some reason, they decided they want to play it. Isn't that the case, right? It's either ours or ours and another one, in Atalanta's. Those are the two matches that they're, for some reason, they don't want to apply the same ruling that they applied to the other ones, you know, because they awarded points to other teams in the same situation. I think that's what it is. I think that's why we keep trying to appeal it, you know. So it's not like we're begging for a win or whatever. And I mean, I'm pretty confident against Bologna, you know. So that's why I feel like, yeah, why at least we need an explanation as to why our case is that much different than the other ones that you guys decided. Okay, this team showed up, that other team didn't show up. Here's the guidelines that we had before that. So based on that, we're awarding the points to this team. Why is it not applying to us, you know?
Yeah, that is another way to look. I don't know. Like, I feel like we should – I know that, you know, it's not consistent ruling, which is what the argument is. But, like, yeah, I would be confident against Bologna. Why not just go ahead and line up that game, knock it out, and just move on? Like, I don't know. I'm tired of the game in hand lingering. Maybe that's just me, but – Something needs to happen. I'm tired of trying to play math. I'm not good at math. I don't need to be trying to add 3 points every time. But we're coming down to the business end of the season, and getting points by any method matters, just like you said, Dave. It's getting a little exhausting trying to look at where these points are going to come from. I saw a comment that I want to pull up. I think it was from Indra Hari. Says that Inter can still win this even if we lose to Juve. 84 points is enough to win the Scudetto. So that means Inter can afford one draw and one loss the rest of the season, which, you know, is a decent amount of space. That would give you space for, you know, a draw or a loss against Juve, and then, you know, some random draw or loss somewhere else. But I don't think it's going to come down to that. I really do, you know, I'm moaning and belly aching and all kinds of stuff right now, but I still think Inter can win all of these matches that they have ahead of them. They're all winnable. Like, I think we said this about Torino too, though. Like, it's winnable. Like, if you're the team that wants to win the Scudetto, if you're the champion, if you're the one with the champion's mentality, you will win the matches in front of you. I do think that getting that point at the end, you know, I mean, didn't feel too great at the end of the day because it's still a draw, but, you know, getting points when you don't deserve them, when you shouldn't be getting them, is still a positive thing to take away, in my opinion. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Would you like, is the draw, I mean, I think we can all agree that it's kind of flattering to enter, but could that still be important?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, like, you see how tight it is. So every single point counts. You know, the goal happened so late. I was at a point where I was like, damn, we really just lost to Torino, you know. So seeing it happen late and even having a chance maybe of scoring a second one, that didn't happen. I mean, that shows that the team still has the fighting spirit in them and that they're not giving up. They're not quitting. And we're going to apply that same mentality to the Scudetto. We're not looking at the table and feeling like we're out of it. I personally, I'm not doing the math that, okay, we could afford to lose and afford to draw, and which is probably true, looking at the schedules of everybody else. But I feel like let's just take it one match at a time, and that's what the guys are going to do, and I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, we're talking about Milan's schedule. I pulled it up. Their last 5 matches are Lazio, Fiorentina. Oh, it went away. Oh, great. Lazio, Fiorentina, Verona, Atalanta, and Sassuolo. So, I mean, they've got a murderer's row there at the end of the season. So that is 3, 6, 9, 12, 15 points. Yeah.
And honestly, points
dropped there.
From an Inter fans perspective, if they could manage to run up those 5 matches, what's the one before that? Because I thought they had 6 tough matches.
It's the Coppa. I mean, oh,
okay. So it's us in the Copa. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking about league. I mean, they have Torino April 10th. That'll be kind of tough. I mean,
that's going to be a tough one for them to. Yeah. We saw what happened. It's going to be tough to beat them. So those six matches, if they manage to get 18 points out of them, I'll tip my hat. They deserve to win it. You know, because even us, from our perspective, if we had that, we would probably be like, okay, that's a tough one. We could probably expect two draws out of those six matches. But if they manage to get six wins, then hey, they deserve winners because we've been fucking off a lot, you know? So that's what it is. It's tough to bow down, but sometimes you have to bow out.
I mean, I don't think they have the fortitude to get through that either, because that is a really young team. That's a team that, other than Zlatan and Giroud, none of them have been there before. None of them have been in any kind of title race, any kind of anything like that. So maybe that's something Inter can keep the advantage in, because we've talked about it all season that this is still the team that has the shield right here on the jersey. So yeah, Dave rocking it as a reminder. But it really is a tough stretch, but Inter still very much can come through, even though I don't think we're the favorites at this point. When you're not within 3 points of the top, I don't think you're the favorite. But I think you're still in a favorable position given who's around you and who they have to play.
Yeah. Can you pull up Napoli's as well, please?
Yes, I'll get that real quick.
Yeah, I can do it so we can show it to the viewers as well. Right. Just one thing, Christo, not Christo, Dave, your microphone isn't plugged in. You're talking through your AirPods.
Yeah, I saw that comment from Risto. I tried to fix it. It's still not working from the mic.
I guess not. That's all right. It's still good enough sound. Like, we'll manage. Okay. This is a live show. We will.
We know Risto's a stickler for the sounds. You know, next thing you know, you guys won't be seeing me on episodes anymore because Risto's going to fire me.
And Risto was laying down last episode. Come on now.
But at least he sounded crispy, so you know.
Come on now, man.
No, I'm kidding. So Napoli have Udinese at home. Then it's the international break again for some reason. Atalanta away. And then they have Fiorentina at home, Roma at home, Empoli away, Sassuolo home, Torino away, Genoa home. And then they finish it off with Spezia away. So realistically, apart from, I don't know, the Sassuolo, Roma, and Napoli matches, they should be winning. Okay, and the Napoli matches. The Atalanta matches, they should be winning all of them. These ones, it's anyone's.
So you said four matches, though. That means they have four tough matches, right?
I know. Yeah.
Well, that's enough.
I think we have the easiest schedule of them all.
Yeah, we do.
If we count out Juventus, which is one match, then we have... Okay, so we have Fiorentina, Juventus... Then we have Hellas Verona, Spezia, we have Roma again after we beat them in the Coppa Italia, so I'm not really worried about Roma anymore.
I worry about Udinese Roma away. just because that's three times. Anytime we play a team more than twice in a season, like that's another chance for a manager to figure us out. I don't know why Mourinho hasn't tried. I don't know if he would feel too bad beating Inter. I don't know, but
he doesn't want to. Then we have Udinese, which fun fact I will be attending. Then we have Empoli home again. Okay, so then we have Cagliari away. That's always a difficult match. And we finish it off with Sampdoria home.
Is my mic working now?
Yeah. All right. There we go. Production.
Happy now, Risto.
making it happen.
So, you know, I don't know, realistically, apart from Juventus and Fiorentina, we should win all of these. Like, I know I'm probably going to get clipped and posted later, or Dave's going to pull a receipt on me.
I'm not going to do you like that. But, no, I agree, and it's even more so because when you look at those dates, Ian, like, you see a week between those matches, so it's not like we're going to have tired guys playing crazy schedules. Right,
the only thing I'm worried is this. So we have the Copa at home, or
Uh-huh. And then the Roma, right? We got Roma, and then the Copa.
Yeah, 4 days later we have Roma. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. And depends. Nah. Like, will we push for the final? Where we just say, okay, let's focus on the league.
We cannot have Milan win a double on our heads, bro. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we.
No, I think push. That could be an ultimate. You know, if Roma. I mean, not Roma. If Milan are. You know,
pulling away with the
or not even pulling away if they are struggling up to that point. I mean they have Genoa before, but they could still drop points to Torino 2 weeks before. Maybe Genoa gives them a tough game because
I expect it. Because listen, they've drawn what 8 matches since they hired the manager.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very possible if they go in and they're stuttering there and then Inter give them a knockout blow. Then they have to play Lazio, Fiorentina, Verona, Atalanta, Sassuolo. I mean,
such a young team. Like, we can definitely, like you said, give them a knockout blow.
Yeah, because I mean, they did it to us a little bit. They kind of started our stuttering with that win. So if we can cause the same thing to them, which has happened in seasons before, it's usually a derby in the league, but I can remember a lot of second half derbies in the season where, you know, we've won and then Milan have been looking strong, you know, like second, third place, and then they end up fighting for fourth on the final day. So it could be something like that again.
Yeah, man. It's tough. I mean, it's tough, like, when you clip things from perspective, like where we are right now, we're sitting in third place looking up. So things are looking kind of grim, you know. But let's not give up hope, guys. I feel like, you know, we're still in it. You know, like, again, we just can't. I just can't guarantee anything because we can't rely on our strikers. If anything, we can rely on them to be unreliable.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
that's you know. So I guess that's the good thing about. Somebody that's unreliable as well is that sometimes that person is reliable. So let's say those guys decide to start firing at the right time and we have another 2 guys in the mix with Correa, which Correa, I expect him to start coming good now because he's been back for about nearly a month now, right? Three weeks. It's been 4 or 5 matches that he's been in now. So he should be getting his legs under him that he can make an impact now. So yeah, I expect Correa to start coming good. Hopefully he doesn't get injured.
When did Correa come back? Was it Genoa or was it?
No, it was Milan, the first leg of the derby. I mean,
oh,
the Copa
it was that
derby.
Far back? Damn. Okay, yeah, that was March 1st. Okay, so it's been about 2 weeks. 2 weeks at this point.
But it's like we're playing so many matches.
3 weeks, yeah. No, Inter has a way of aging you a year in 3 days at some points, so... You know, it's really been that kind of season so far. Let's look at some comments though. I want to start. Hendrix dropped a comment before we even started. He said if Correa doesn't start against Fiorentina, retire him and make him the club chef. I mean, yeah, he was the carne asada they had out there today. So I mean, I guess they just signed him to look nice and cook the carne there.
Wait, for real? All right, I'm about to go custom out, bro, because you guys see, I haven't been on Twitter, bro. So they're really out there partying, grilling, like everything's all good. I'm about to go retweet.
No, man, you need to see this now. We need your life.
I thought it was fine, honestly. Like, I mean, they need a morale boost. Like, if that helps, you know, like, because the last thing we need is this team spiraling and collapsing in on itself. So if it's a little grill in the sun, you know, if that's what gets the blood going. Then that's what we need.
Look at that.
My only problem with this picture is I don't even care about anything else. Like, why does he have his shorts so far up?
He's trying not to pull another hamstring.
Alex.
He's going to pull another hamstring. He's going to bend too far over the grill. That's going to be a shoulder. He's going to pull an oblique.
It seems like they're enjoying themselves. Gosens is a bit confused as to what's happening.
Well, next, I gotta get Hakan to do the kebab.
For real.
What else we got? Every Inter player or every player linked to Inter keeps scoring against us. Matthias says, "Yeah, it keeps happening." Yeah, for real. If Scamacca gets a goal against Milan last match of the season, and that's what keeps them out in some kind of like QPR Man City type like last match day, like Lautaro goes full Aguero or something, like, you know what, I will, like, they need to bring Scamacca in, like, on a float, like, in a championship parade of his own.
Absolutely. But speaking of, though, I know we're doing the comments, and I want us to keep going through them, but you guys, I'm sure you guys have been reading the rumors about Sebastian Haller, right?
Yeah, there was a comment. I'll pull that up while we talk.
Okay, I feel like Haller and Scamacca are mutually exclusive. You know, it's one or the other, obviously. You know, and they're around the same price. You know, who would you guys prefer out of the two?
I'd rather have Scamacca. He knows the league. I would rely on him more than Haller, who was good at Eintracht Frankfurt, but, you know, didn't have a great time in the Premier League. I mean, it was a very chaotic West Ham when he was there. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's recaptured his form at Ajax, but, you know, it's still the Eredivisie. I'm always very skeptical of that league. Even when Dumfries came in, you know, I'm always very skeptical of that league. So I would rather have, you know, someone really young and with a lot of potential, a really high ceiling like Scamacca.
I'm with you, man. You said it all.
But he was the top scorer of the Champions League at one point. I think he's the only player, one of the only players that actually scored in every single group stage game.
No, he's playing out of his mind right now. But I'm actually with Mikey on this, because Haller is prime Haller right now. He's the best that he's ever going to be. You know, he's what, 27, 28 years old right now. I mean, he's playing out of his mind. I'll give him credit. He's bullying that league. He got 19 goals, 7 assists in the league, and then he got 11 goals in the Champions League. So that's a wonderful season he's having. But when you look at the guy, he's more of a big guy. He's not pretty quick. He's not too technical. He just scores bully goals, you know. And he is clinical. He's like a guy that he finds the corner and he doesn't mess around. So I guess that's probably why we look at him. But when you look at ceiling at Scamacca, who's 23, I'll still go with Scamacca. There's still no guarantee that Scamacca is ever going to be a player that's going to bang goals in the Champions League like we see Haller is doing. But what are the odds that that's exactly what he's going to be doing every season now? You know, I think he's just having a magical year, a la Lukaku with us last year. You know, he feels like he has something to prove. You know, because it failed for him in England. He had to go in a lower league, and he's motivated, he's focused, and he's banging in goals. I think that's what it is. I don't think that's sustainable, what we're seeing from him. So I definitely still go with Scamacca. And as the comments say as well, I think that it probably is some kind of smoke screen for Sassuolo to kind of budge a bit, because it was also reported that we were offering a loan with obligation, but they want the cash up front or something like that. So we're probably trying to do that.
I agree with you, Jones, to some extent. Like, if we look at his last games, he is very streaky. You know, we see here's a period of four games where he didn't score. He assisted against Juventus.
Scamacca.
Oh, okay.
Scamacca. And then, like, here in the beginning, like, no goals for four games, no goals for five games, or is it even more at six games, you know? So he started the season off actually without scoring in the first six games, and then he scored a double against Genoa, and then he went on another four games without scoring. So, you know, he just seems streaky, a streaky player, like Lautaro is. Yeah. He didn't score for seven games, and then he scored a couple, and then he didn't score again for seven games. Like, he needs to be more consistent. If you look at
Haaland, I mean, now I agree. Hold on. Still pull up Haller, But let me give you a rebuttal, Ian, because you see how sneaky he is, Mikey? He likes sneaking in his little points and then driving right back to the next one. <You know? laughs> I'm used to you now.
That's We've been doing this team. For months. That's a debate team strategy right
yeah,
there.
Yes, bro. I'm used to you, Ian. We've been doing this for months now. But yes, I feel like that you can probably circle that to a guy that's probably young and still figuring it out, because that still is first year as a full-time starter in a decent team. Of course, he was starter half of the season at Genoa last year, you know, and a horrible general team that was battling relegations. So I count this season as his first season in the Serie A as a starter. So having 12 goals right now, and he probably going to end up with 15, 16, I feel like that's a good number. Now, if he's at Inter 2-3 years and is 25, 26 and still streaky like that, then we can decide that, yeah, that's a guy that he's entering his prime and he's probably a streaky player. He's not it, which is why I'm at a point where I'm jumping off the Lautaro bandwagon right now, because Lautaro is about to be 25 and he's been here for about 4 years and, you know, it hasn't improved. But go ahead with your Haller stuff, bro.
Haller just seems a more, I won't say complete, maybe complete, but Haller just seems the, for right now, a better player.
But how much have you watched? How much Ajax have you watched this year? Like, I can't speak I haven't watched any Ajax.
No, but just like from what I've seen on highlights, and we all know the highlights are deceiving with our Joao Mario cases and such. But he just seems like a better, more complete, more ready-made footballer. He had that spell, West Ham.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I agree. I mean, I think both Mikey and I, we did agree. And yeah, I mean, I know it is common to make fun of people who talk about highlights, but of course, highlights are useful to see what a player can do, what the skills, what the abilities of a player are. So yeah, and his highlights, he's definitely showing you that he's a more complete player because he is older. He's been in the profession longer. He knows, he has more tools. He knows how to find his consistency. He knows what his workout regimen should be, you know, all that stuff that Scamacca is figuring out, you know? So yeah, we both agree. I think Haller is definitely a more ready-made right now type of player, but Scamacca could easily be 1 or 2 years away from being better, much better than that, you know, in my opinion.
What do we need? Do we need someone now to most, step in?
I have a point.
Go ahead, Mikey.
No, but I'm looking, like I've pulled up or Haller's his CV. I mean, he's only scored, and when he was in the Bundesliga, he only scored double-digit goals once. He had 15 goals, 9 assists, and 29 matches in 2018-19, and that was the move that got him to the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that big of a number to me. His next biggest goal haul was back in the Eredivisie in 2015.
Hey, listen, Mikey, every time before you say the Eredivisie, Mr. Pleasant here, look at that comment. He's saying, make sure you respect his Eredivisie, please. He doesn't want any hostility against it.
Well, now this isn't even just looking like maybe he's just suited to that league, not in a quality way or anything, just like maybe his skill set fits that league very well.
Yeah. I don't know. All right, go ahead then, Ian. So, Ian, come out and say it. Would you prefer us to go for Haller over Scamacca?
We still need to wait until the end of the season, I think, for Scamacca. I don't know. Like, let's look at Sassuolo's schedule.
Is it even worth mentioning Lukaku right now?
No.
No, I don't think that's happening. I think that's just a Twitter pipe dream that we feed into it. But
that's one of the Thomas rumors that he keeps spreading.
Hey, I mean, he's got to keep the clicks on Inter Extra somehow.
Follow Inter _extra for more Inter news by Thomas. No, but like, look, okay, so they have Spezia home, Lazio away, Atalanta home, Cagliari away, Juventus home, Napoli away, Udinese home, Bologna away, and then Milan home. If he can score against at least two of the big teams here that I see, so if he can score against Milan, Juventus, maybe Napoli, and continue to do well against the little teams, sign him up. No question about it.
He's already scored against Milan and Napoli this season, by the way. I don't know if that counts.
We'll see.
In Inter. I don't know if that counts.
Do we have to mention Inter? Like, you see our defenses, you see we have a stature and goals.
Okay, but our defense is still the second best defense in the league. We've still only given up 23 goals. The only better is Napoli with 21, and we still scored 10 more than Napoli. We still have the best goals for. Like, the statistics are still there. The form is just gone.
How do we still have the second best defense?
Let's comb through the comments more. I see a lot of them popping up. Thank you, guys.
Got him going with the hilarious talk. Mr.
Also,
Pleasant, I'm sorry.
Subscribe,
I didn't
click
mean to...
the bell button so you never miss a scheduled upload and live stream.
Didn't mean to slander the Eredivisie too much. I'm just more cautious. Let's see. Mattia says Inter fans aren't delusional. Torino was robbed of a penalty and 3 points. We didn't deserve that point. Yeah, yeah. It happens in the season, though. You know, there's always a match or two in the season where you steal a point or two. But the seasons where you can steal more points, I mean, this sounds very Juventus right now. The seasons where you can steal more points when you don't play well are the seasons where you have some success at the end of them.
Yeah. Absolutely, and shout out to Mattia, by the way. That's a guy that is—he's one of our loyal guys. Every time that we're coming on, I always see him, and I had the pleasure of meeting him in person. Actually, well, not in person, seeing him because we actually had a stream together with Inter Worldwide. So shout out to those guys. Shout out to Mattia.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah,
he's a nephew. Came from the Uncle Sharma channel. Also, check out Uncle Sharma.
Let's see. Risto says, congrats, Milan, 19th Scudetto. Of course he says that.
Look where Balkan were supposed to be negative. Even look at Mattia's comments later.
Risto, a draw. He says a draw would be good against Juventus. I think we would kind of all agree with that. Yeah. Let's see. Who else we got? Sean Collins here. I think he's a little confused with... Okay, no, he had some clarification about the Bologna issue. We were talking, or Dave was mentioning how other teams got points that weekend. He says that I think they forced the others to play but didn't make any statement with ours until we asked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I think there was like a match around that same time, because I know Atalanta still has a match in hand. Udinese have two matches in hand, so there were some matches missed.
Oh, I'm looking right now. Yes, Salernitana, I'm missing two. Udinese, I'm missing two. Torino, I'm missing. Torino and Bologna are missing one. Fiorentina are missing one. Yeah, Atalanta are missing one. And us as well. Okay. All right. Yeah, I did. I stand corrected then. Thank you, Sean. Because I did read that. The reason why we're pushing for it is because like we were not getting the same treatment. Like they were forcing us to play it where everybody else was like, okay, you know what, you guys get awarded the points. But if it's not the case, then definitely we play them. If everybody else plays, then so should we, you know?
Yeah. Mattia wants Ian to control Risto.
Hold on, too bad. He was swearing in our languages. I will not stand for that. This is a family friendly show. He can fuck off.
Family friendly show, but he can what?
Huh?
He can what now?
Family friendly show, but he can what?
I don't know what you're talking about. Moving on.
That's how he is.
Oh my! No, Risto's a loose cannon. We can he cannot be.
Nobody can control Risto. Yeah. You can only hope to contain him.
He has no manager. He can no longer be managed.
What else we got in the comments?
Mr. Pleasant saying that we have the easiest schedule, but it means that we're in the position to patsa enter ourselves into oblivion. Yeah, we're kind of on the cusp of that. Really hoping that doesn't happen. I still think that once we're getting down now to a match a week, I think we're going to see the best out of this team. Because the depth that everyone said we had is not real depth. You know, Vecino got a year older. Gagliardini's Gagliardini. Vidal got a year older. It's just the depth was not.
Sensi away.
Yeah, Sensi is still made of glass. He still has glass bones and paper skin. Every morning he breaks his arms. Every night he breaks his legs, and his heart attacks put him to sleep. But
yeah. But speaking of that midfield depth, though, like if we don't sign somebody to back up Brozo, I say that we have to be in a position where we say, you know what, fuck it, if we sacrifice his growth a little bit, but we gotta bring back Agüero, bro. Because like young or not, needing to learn more or not, like we need quality players in this midfield. Because I don't wanna be in a position that we're forced to be playing Vecino and Gagliardini anymore. I understand Gagliardini because of the contract we give him, gave him, it's tough to get rid of him. But Vecino, I think Vecino is gone this summer. Vidal is gone this summer. So hopefully we bring in quality, man. Because those guys, this kind of player, like, hopefully we never get to see them in our colors again.
We already talked about bringing Gomez back. Or was that the Twitter discussion that I saw?
Yeah, I think we spoke about it last episode. Or
yeah, we definitely did. Yeah. Uh-huh. I like this.
For bowlers, for Vecino and Gomez, how they're performing. Like, I know it won't be like compared equally, but like the per game stats, I can pull them up.
Well, while you're doing that, I did like this comment from Indra Har talking about relegation teams, which is, you know, something that really pops up around this portion of the season where, you know, if you're facing those relegation teams this late in the season, you know, they're going to be fighting hard. He says he's not going to be surprised if Milan or Napoli drop points against some of those teams. I'm not sure exactly which ones they have, but yeah, I would be very cautious of anyone from about 16th to 20th. I mean, maybe not 20th. I think Salernitana are completely dead in the water.
Dead in the water, yeah.
Yeah, but anyone from Sampdoria, Cagliari, Venezia, Genoa, I mean, they're going to put up fights.
Yeah, I agree. Very good point, Durari.
What's Ian got here?
I don't know, eating the maps. This guy, it's like a guy that got a new toy, bro. Like, we can. Yeah, let me see. Oh, you want stats? I got stats. Heat maps. I got heat maps too.
What's going on? Hello.
Who's that? Agume?
On the right is Agume, on the left is Brozovic. All right.
Oh, wow. So he's going to compare. That's cool.
Right. And I'm this guy. Come on.
Wait a minute. So who's on the right?
Agume.
Left one is Brozovic. Right one is Agume.
Of course, of course. I don't know why I asked. I should have known. Brozovic. Look at this, Brozovic. It's because it's not a color more. Yeah, it's not a color. It's not a color darker than red. Maybe like, but I'm sure this guy's like.
This guy's got like purple.
Yeah, purple map. But yeah, go ahead, Ian.
This is a terror.
Kind of, it's Shirley. This has to be so similar to Conte. I don't know. So yeah, basically, Agüero played less. Neither of them scored.
Mm-hmm. I thought Brazo had a goal this year. Huh.
This is the league. This is only the league.
Okay.
So we're looking at league stats. So passing, Brozovic has one assist. Agüero has zero. Brozovic has almost twice as many touches as Agüero. Both only rated one big chance. Key passes, Brozovic has one, whilst Agüero has half per game. Yeah, okay, so Brozovic is in a completely different ballpark when it comes to accurate balls and passes. Like, you can just see, like, 7%, 92% completion rate with almost twice as many accurate passes per game compared to Agüero. Well, like, Agüero is still young. Plus, he seems to be a bit more defensive, you know? More interceptions, more tackle. Same tackles. Do you think he's ready? Or do you think...
I don't think he's ready.
Do they get stats of how much running they did? I'm sorry, bro.
Running stats?
Yeah.
Distance covered?
Distance covered, yeah. I'm sure that should be near the heat map, right? No?
Yeah, I would think so. It might not. They might just not have it on SofaScore. That might just be because anytime I see distance covered, it's always Serie A covering it. Like, I don't know how they do it, but I think that might just be their proprietary stuff.
Because this is from the Serie A, which I pulled up for the last game for the Torino Inter match. This is how they do it. It's on their website, but like, I don't think there's a per season yet.
Understood. Okay, but that's interesting. To answer your question, Ian, I don't think he's ready. That's why just the previous episode, I was on here saying that I want him, if anything, my wish would have been for us to get him into the league, maybe a lower table Serie A side, so he could gain some Serie A experience, because the league is completely different from the French league. And I've been convinced by everybody else, Mikey included, that the Italian culture just won't allow that to happen, because those teams, if they don't own a player or they don't have the option of owning them, they're not going to develop and they're not going to play him. So I agree. I would say that maybe we should leave him there at Brest for another year since he seems to be in a great environment. He's thriving and they love him there. Give him another year, but I don't think he's ready. But if we can't buy a player or a guy to replace Brozo, I do not want us to go in there in the same way thinking, okay, you know what, when we can't play Brozo, we're going to play Barella and as register and stuff. No, we got to have two registers there, in my opinion.
You know, to me, I think there's one team that would play him. And I think and it's because they're currently playing another loney with a lot of playing time in their midfield, and that's Torino. Oh. Because Juric is playing Tommaso Pobega a lot. And Milan are going to be taking him back at the end of the season, I'm pretty sure. So if that's a hole in their midfield and Juric needs someone else in that spot, I think
that's a great point.
That would be a good place for him to be. That's a great coach. That's a solid team, a similar style. I think it could work.
Yeah. No, that's a great shot, Mikey. I mean, great pointing that out. And also, Salernitana, I'm not sure they have much of a choice because of the squad. They're playing the kid from Juve, I think, Dragosin, I think his name is, the defender. They play him almost every match, you know. So something like that. I'm not sure I would want him at a bottom dweller that's like really has no chance and they're really struggling every match. They get pounded every match. But I would like him in a Torino level type of a team, a Udinese type of team, that he can learn a lot and still show what he can do, you know, and the learning about Italian soccer. That's the most important thing. Learning the tactics, the pressing that you need to do, the everything press, because he has a lot of freedom in France and it's a pretty open league.
Indra Hari, I think, might watch Brest more than us. He seems to have a take here. He says, should take into account how Brest play. Agume is a double pivot playing on the counter. He doesn't think he's as much a regista as more of like a more box of to box.
Box to box. Okay. Yeah, that's a very good point. Let me look at their formation. Brest. I do know that, like, in the few matches that I have tuned in to watch him in Satiliano, he was playing in front of the defense, but yeah, it was not more of a register role where he was getting the ball, everything was going through him. So yeah, that probably explains those stats. So that's a good
shot. Yeah, they were playing. I just pulled up their last match just for a random reference. They were playing a 3-4. It was long. But it was a 3-4-1-2, and yeah, he was playing beside another midfielder. But that does seem a little more similar to something that could happen at Inter. I don't think that would be fully out of the question for Inzaghi to resort to at some point. And I mean, if you could get him in that way, I mean, it could work, at least to me.
I agree.
But I'm still guessing because I don't watch Brest. If they weren't on BN Sports in the US, which is hard as all hell to get on, I would be watching somewhere like somebody needs to get those league rights. I need them on ESPN or Paramount or something.
Oh snap, it's 4:00. The Juve match is starting. Let me get on that.
Yeah, I mean we're pushing an hour. We'll probably get a few more comments, get a few more.
Yes. I saw we had plenty of good ones. Let's see if we could skim through them real quick and we could wrap it up.
Yeah. Mattia has a question for Dave. He asks you where you stand with Dybala.
Oh, man. Listen, it depends on the day of the week that you ask me, man. I've been flip-flopping. Like, that's a guy that, like, again, against Torino last match, we could definitely use a guy like that. A guy that you give him the ball, he could dribble a little bit, try to create something for himself. Because in a situation like that, when a team is or defending so well, you need individual brilliance. And we lack that, you know. So a genius like him, we need a player like that. But on the other end, when you look at the injuries that he's been having, we did a very good job. Thank you with Ian and Mikey. I think Ian pulled up the injuries and everything. You know, that was his first time using his little tools. So we went over it, you know, like the injuries that he was having, You know, they look like he's breaking down. So at the price that he would come, it doesn't look like a good investment for a club like us, who we're not really that safe financially, you know. So I'm flip-flopping, man. One day I'll be like, yo, you know what, let's just take the risk. What, the next day I'll be like, no, let's not touch this guy. So
it would still be a much smarter thing than another rumor I've seen, which was Luis Suarez.
Oh no. The club moved very quickly to deny that one.
Okay.
Very quickly. Okay, I was surprised. Yeah.
Do you know who Dybala reminds me of a bit? Wayne Rooney. He started playing almost.
That's an insult in so many.
No.
Listen, that's a good shout.
Because he started playing at Everton almost every game when he was 18 years old, made his big move to Man United, just like Dybala did with Palermo and Juventus. And then he's been playing his ass off for the whole career. And then the muscle injuries or the knee injuries.
He flamed out.
He flamed out very early before he was 30, I think. So I can draw some parallels.
No, that's a very, very good shout. Yeah. Very good shout. Yeah, because it's not like a guy that had one massive injury that set off his career. You know, it's like he played a lot. They put a lot of minutes on him. And kind of similar to Michael Owen as well, those young English guys, they come out young, they play a lot. And then by the time, because he's the same age as Ronaldo. I remember they both hit the football scene at the same age, 18 years old in that Euro. I think it was Euro 2004, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. You know, so they're the same age, but he looks like an old man, whereas Ronaldo is still scoring hat tricks. So good shot. I agree. Dybala is very comparable. It could be a guy that's finishing. You know, I'm not gonna give you any fight back on that one, Ian.
Oh man, but yeah, I think we all are kind of like here with the Indra Hari says Raspadori all the way. We need guys with upside. We need guys with, you know, value that's gonna last. Not these guys that you're getting at the twilight of their careers, like the Alexis Sanchez's, the Vidals of the world. No, I think we're moving past that model. And I mean, we only did that because of Conte. I think Alexis Sanchez, that might have been, you know, an opportunity right there just because of how bad he was falling out with Man U. But Vidal, that was 100% Conte. And we're kind of seeing the hangover effects of that because we brought in his win now guys and we won then. And yeah, they're done.
Yeah, and they're the two highest paid players on the team right now.
Yeah, and we saw Vidal this week say that got fined for trying to say, come get me to Flamengo of all teams.
I mean, shit, I don't know why they fined him, to be honest. If anything, the club should have been like, yes, guy, I'm glad you get it. If anything, we're going to try to make it happen. You know, come on,
or Flamengo. Maybe they were just trying to make him want to leave even more. I don't know. Maybe it was some kind of reverse psychology. But yeah, I think getting those guys out, freeing up those wages, whatever we do this summer, like I'm looking forward to what we do this summer. I think there are some good moves to be made. I think beyond like the ones that we know of right now, the Scamacas, the Raspadoris, the Fratesis, I think there's going to be more that could happen. I know recently, it's not been the best source. I think it was broken by Calcio Mercato. But Hassim Aouar from Lyon, I saw a link there. I think that would be a very good reinforcement for the midfield.
Really?
Yeah. It just came out today. I mean, it was just Calcio Mercato, which isn't the best source.
But still, I mean, that's crazy. That's how you could tell that I wasn't happy with the latest result. I've been on Twitter less often, you know, so I'm missing out. I didn't even see them grilling, and I didn't even see this rumor, so... I've been slipping a little bit. They better give me a win so I could get back active on Twitter, man.
Hey, I mean, it's better for you mentally anyway. I mean, Twitter can become quite the place.
Absolutely.
I think that was just about everything. Does anybody have any parting comments, anything? Do we want to do predictions or are we going to stay off of predictions until we start getting some?
Nah, let's predict, bro.
We have to do predictions.
Let's do predictions. I'll go first. Given the situation, I'll say 2-1 Inter. You know, because think about it, they don't have Vlahovic up there anymore. It's gonna be Piontek and whoever Cabral that they just bought, and he's not even getting minutes right now because I don't think he's at the level of the league maybe it's taking him time to settle, but he's barely getting minutes. So yeah, I think we can handle Piontek and whoever else. So 2-1.
Who's that Gonzalez guy, Nico Gonzalez?
Yes,
and next on Skriniar last time.
Mm-hmm. And they got the other guy. What's his name? Ikone. Ikone. That's yeah. That's a dangerous guy as well.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Today might be a good day. The day that Juve gets dumped out of the Champions League is always a good day. Villarreal just took the lead.
Yes.
How about that? But yeah, I guess my prediction, I would say an ugly 1-0 win. I don't see us playing any beautiful football yet. I think we need to get one foot in front of the other, start walking before we start trying to run. So I would take a 1-0 win.
Same with me. My head says 1-0. My heart says something else. With the way the defense has been going, 1-1 is.
He just wants that Handanovic clean sheet.
Oh, I live for the Handanovic clean sheets. My mind says 1-1. My heart says 1-0. I'm going to go 1-0. The Handanovic clean sheet will come. And I will make sure to put it on Twitter for the whole week that follows.
What Juve, what Villarreal goal are you guys talking about? Because I'm watching them.
Yeah.
I thought I was a little behind, but I don't see it.
Oh, well, then maybe not. Maybe we did just. I guess we got.
I think you guys misunderstood. I think probably that was a prediction. Maybe that was it.
Nil. Hey, I mean, either way, it could still happen. You know what?
Let's hope.
Speaking into
existence. But thank you guys. Thank you everybody. Like, I mean, especially on a random day like this, on a random Wednesday, we didn't even play. To have everybody come in and participate as if it was a regular episode, it means a lot to us. That means we're really building a group of people that really mess with us. So thank you guys. It means a lot.
Yeah. It's great. You know, a Wednesday after a draw. It could easily just have been dead. But yeah, much appreciated. Anything else? Anything you guys want to leave us with to think about until after Fiorentina? No? All right. I guess we'll just go ahead and pop on out of here. Ian, do you want to give an outro or
does anyone else want to take a stab at it?
Hey, you've got it written down. I'll just say share, subscribe, turn on notifications, tell your friends, tell your dog, tell your mom, tell everybody that we're out here. So
I think we got the outro done.
Ta-da. But thanks everyone. Thanks Dave. Thanks Ian. Being here as always, you know, coming on after this stretch of games has not been the easiest, but we're still out here. And thanks everyone. And we'll see.